chapter 18 of Leviticus on episode 28 of Thomas and the Bible. This part of the Bible is so awesome, I can't even explain. This first chapter here. Yeah, Leviticus lives up to its reputation, I gotta say. It really does. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. That way they'll know it's me. Seriously, does he need to say that every single time? I think maybe what's happening here is God has like 50 million universes with 50 million different chosen peoples he's trying to talk to simultaneously on his God cast. And he maybe like loses track of which ones are where, you know, in the spectrum of being the chosen people. So he's like, from time to time, he has like his, that's his call sign, actually, his call letters for like a, you know, radio station. I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do? And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. I got to say, I find this concept of a chosen people just absolutely hilarious. What in the world is special about these people, aside from the fact that God seems to think there's something special about these people? He's telling them not to be sinful like everybody else is. So why couldn't he just tell everyone not to be sinful? Is there some reason for that as I adjust my mic? His chosen people weren't made less sinful, right? Were they engineered to be better than everybody else? If so, why didn't the head engineer just go ahead and make everybody that way? Which is more likely, that an all-powerful God decided he needed to handpick a few chosen people who by all measures are no better than anybody else in order to start talking to and favoring and all that? Or that maybe one or a few of these people invented the God and made up all this scripture to feel special about themselves? Which is more likely? All right. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Oh, wow. Again, did I already say that? Oh, damn, it's hard to keep track. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. You're listening to The Lord. Up next on the Lord, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Oh, man. I love also whenever he says the I am the Lord, it's always a semicolon. No, it's always a colon. Colon, I am the Lord. Like it follows somehow from what he just said. To uncover their nakedness, colon, I am the Lord. Like, is he maybe he's anticipating a lot of disappointment at what he just said, and he's trying to, like, jump ahead of the belly aching? Like, if he just stopped, if he just said, None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. Aw, man, God, come on, I love doing that. Hey, who the hell do you think you are telling us to do that? I am the Lord. Oh. That's true. He is the Lord. Damn it. All right. God. Is that why he's like jumping the gun there and trying to make sure that everybody knows? I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. It's really, it just doesn't stop being funny. Just out, we're on verse 7, and every single one has been hilarious. One thing that really makes me laugh about this this part of the Bible here and other parts that we've covered, is his selective justification for what he's saying. Like, sometimes he just says it and leaves it at that. Like, you know, that thou shalt not kill or something, you know, something like this. He'll just say it. And then other times, he'll just argue in a circle. Like, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother. Because, I mean, come on, she is thy mother. Ah. You know, like, like, it's, that's obvious. You know, obviously that's obvious to us, but... No, never mind. I'll do more on that later. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover.
Ugh, this is, sorry, this is making me yawn.
Oh, and by the way, the notes are a little conflicting on what this means. They say uncovering someone's nakedness means either marrying them or having sex with them. So I guess it doesn't literally mean just walking in on them when they're changing or something like that. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. Also, I love the even, like this was a shock to the people. Even their nakedness. Oh, God, even their nakedness? Come on. Whose nakedness can we uncover, damn it? Ugh. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. However, thy father's wife's daughter that she brought into marriage is fair game. Have at her. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Again, this circular justification. I love it. If this commandment had been reversed, would you have noticed anything fishy? Would you have, if it said, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's near kinswoman, for she is thy mother's sister? Would you have been like, what? That makes no sense. So which is it? I gotta ask God, which is it? Did he create us such that things like incest are obviously bad and we don't need to justify the commandments? Because then why bother writing them? And, you know, if it's a bunch of, don't do this because, come on, I mean, oh, really? No, don't do that. Come on. Are we really going to do that? Ugh. Or if we were not created, you know, such that these things are obvious to us, then in that universe, he probably would have needed to justify it with something. So it just doesn't, it doesn't make sense. A book full of, don't do this because, ugh. You know, anyone who is built to not already know that isn't going to respond to a commandment that says, don't do this because that's so gross. so funny. I honestly, these make me laugh really hard. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach his to his wife. She is thine aunt. So in case you're worried about, you know, whose nakedness you can and cannot uncover. Just anybody who's related to you, just don't, better not. Just play it safe. Don't uncover their nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. the reiterating. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. So definitely murder your wife before marrying her sister. I mean, that's just common courtesy. That's just basic etiquette there. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Duh. I feel like God's talking like this is just a bunch of idiots that he's got to talk to. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And, wait, hold on. Was that not covered under thou shalt not commit adultery? Is this different? Like a different kind of adultery? If you lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her, I'd say that's adultery. Is it not? No, we need to make another pass at that one. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. I had to look up what this one is saying. Essentially, it says, don't sacrifice any of your children to this idol named Molech. That's because I guess like people used to do that before this. But that one seems pretty obvious. Also, like, why was he so specific? Couldn't he have just said, don't sacrifice your children ever? Also, isn't that covered in thou shalt not kill? Or, no? Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Ah, the famous Prop 8 mantra. And as is often pointed out, it's so obvious that it barely needs to be said, but if you're going to single out this one commandment to follow and to make laws about, you also need to not eat shellfish or get your hair cut or any other stupid crap it says in Leviticus. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Yeah, see, for example, if you're going to condemn homosexuality based on Leviticus 22, then you'd also better condemn bestiality based on that next verse. And then where does it end? Where does it end after that? I mean, come on. Also, that language was awesome. again, with the selective justification. Let me read that again. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Like, damn it, don't screw that goat woman. It's confusing. I hate that. Please don't do that. I don't understand. I can barely keep track where all your weird parts are supposed to go. Don't confuse me like that. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. So, okay, let me get this straight, God. You're condemning all these people, and all these, you're casting them out, and giving, you know, taking their land, all these people who weren't following commandments that you hadn't written down yet? Like, what? Ye shall therefore, you know, it seems apparent that the Jews didn't know not to do these things before you wrote them down, I guess, if that's what we're assuming. Either that or it's pointless to write them down. Which is it? Any one of those things is stupid. So pick which stupid thing this is, and it's stupid. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, as I've said numerous times, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. This next one's in parentheses, by the way. I'm not sure what that's about. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and that land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as is spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. This has been the Lord your God Radio, signing off until next time. So that's chapter 19, on to chapter 20. No, I'm sorry, that was chapter 18, on to chapter 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I wonder how all these conversations with God started up. Was it always like, hey, Moses, I thought of some more crap that you guys can't do. Do you have a minute? Actually, more like 6 or 7 years. How fast can you write, by the way? You know, he's always, Moses must have just been trying to, you know, do his chores, go about his business. Moses, ah, damn it. What? I have some more things to tell you not to do. Anyway, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's awesome. Should we also be all-knowing, since you, the Lord our God, are all-knowing? Sounds good to me. Ye shall fear every man his mother, and I don't know about that. Every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. This is the Lord your God radio. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. You are listening to the Lord your God. I wonder if he recorded that too, pre-recorded it so he didn't have to say it every time. If he just like hits a button and says, I am the Lord your God. And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. And if you don't make a sacrifice to me, you shall burn in hell for all eternity. So, like I said, offer, you know, at your own will. Oh, and if you don't offer at your own will, you shall burn in hell for all eternity. So, you're free to offer or not offer and burn in hell as you wish. You know, up to you guys. Want to make sure you guys have free will in all this. Gotta remind you about burning in hell if you don't, but your choice, still your choice. You could choose to burn in hell, or you could choose to make an offering. It's up to you. I'm a fair God. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow, and if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, or Martha's vineyard, or anybody else's vineyard. Neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. This is the Lord your God. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, because it's too damn funny, and I just laugh every time. But shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. He literally says that every other one. Like, maybe Moses was just so, like, astronomically stupid. Mic cable. Like, as stupid as this mic cable. Maybe Moses was so stupid that like, he literally forgot who was talking to him. Like, ye shall do no... Who is this? How long have we been talking? I am the Lord. Oh, yeah, okay. Just go, yeah, keep reminding me every once in a while. I forget, you know, sorry. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Righteous. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. Who is it? I am the Lord. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. If you do hate thy brother, do it in some other organ, like the appendix. That's what I put it there for. It doesn't have any other function, but don't hate him in your heart. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. I'd like to make a little point here. In this context, neighbor clearly means fellow Jew. It's pretty obvious for a lot of reasons, because he said, children of thy people, but love thy neighbor. And then also the fact that he's pretty much, you know, God's pretty much pooping on everybody who's like not a Jew at this point. Everybody who's like lives in the land that he's about to give to this chosen people. So neighbor is just means like your neighbor that's a good guy. Everybody else, screw him. And I looked in the notes here, and there's a person that says neighbor is used as synonymous with fellow creature. And his proof for this, which would go against what I'm saying, and his proof is because of the Good Samaritan story, where Jesus, who we've not yet introduced, talks about a Good Samaritan who treats somebody who's not his fellow person, you know, like not in his clan, like his neighbor. So in that sense, I think Jesus was right. The only problem is that's about 500 pages from now and is a completely different thing. But so it really doesn't mean that this verse means this. I know that these Bible note people think that like someone actually had a plan for this book and just wrote the whole thing. but that's clearly not true. And so it's pretty obvious that neighbor in this sense means your fellow Jew. So even though the New Testament may have improved some of these things, the Old Testament is a piece of crap and you can't just make it say whatever you want. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed, neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. I don't know what that means. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman, tread softly here, God, Moses is thinking, that is a bondmaid, okay, betrothed to an husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. Scourged, by the way, to the best of what I can figure out, I think means like whipped. So she was not free. So at least she won't be put to death, but she's still going to get whipped for what looks like is not her fault. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he hath done. And the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him. Yay, that's easy. Just do whatever you want and then bring a lamb and then it's fine. And when ye shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. That's going to make me think of fruit in a whole different way. It's kind of disgusting. 3 years shall it be uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord withal. Wonder what that's about. And in the fifth year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God. Or maybe Moses has had to humor God this whole time, even though he keeps saying that over and over, like a grandfather with Alzheimer's or something. Like, did I tell you that I'm the Lord your God? No, you didn't. Wow, that's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Did I tell you that I'm the Lord your God? You are. No way. That is so cool. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment, nor observe times. Nor observe times. I got a little bit bored with this part, so I stopped looking up, like, what these stupid phrases mean. Observe times. I think it had something to do with if I remember, actually, it was some, like, pagan ritual or something. So, pretty much, a lot of this, it looks like they just took what the people were doing, like the pagans or whoever it was. Oh, craziness going on there. Whatever they were doing before this, like the people whose land they were taking, and basically to get rid of their religion, they just made all their commandments go against like whatever they did. So I'm pretty sure that's what it was. So don't observe times, anyone. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads. Neither shall round the corners of your... If you're born with a box head, you're stuck with it, damn it. Stop rounding the corners of your heads with belt sanders. Neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. Everything else is fair game, but not the corners. I like that part. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Another pagan ritual. Nor print any marks upon you. I am, guess what? The Lord! Yay! Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom, and the land become full of wickedness. Again, with the awesomeness of God's justification for certain rules. Excuse me. Don't prostitute your daughter, not because that would be horrible parenting and probably, you know, bad for her development and everything. But because once everyone starts doing that, then the land just becomes full of wickedness. And then, you know, one thing leads to another. I love that. That's the justification. Lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Like, really? That's... I don't know. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths. We are his Sabbath's keeper. And reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Oh, now he's going on a... I'm looking ahead. He's going on a rapid fire of I am the Lord's. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. And if it's, he's just really into himself. He's like, I love me. God is so awesome being God. I'm the Lord. Such a good Lord. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God, and you don't forget that. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in metiard, in weight, or in measure. That's really... really timeless of you there, God. Hey, so everybody out there today, when you're weighing goods for bartering, make sure that you don't use a hollow weights, you know, because that would be so unjust. Everybody, this is very important that we all in this timeless book remember that commandment that stands the test of time. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, if in case you forgot that 10 minutes ago. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord! That's the end of that chapter. On to chapter 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, just a couple more things. Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, I just want to reiterate this here, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Tell them again, but then why are we putting it, God, why are we putting this in your eternal book if we need to, why do we need to tell them if we're putting it in a book? Just do it! Okay. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring after him, to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. At this point, if I were Moses, I would have said, you know, God, you've been talking an awful lot about this Molech character. It seems maybe you got a little bit of a Molech complex going on. No, I don't know. I hate that guy. But I mean, if anything, you know, Molech has a me complex. I mean, he won't leave me alone. You know, he's all the time just really because I talk to him from time to time. I've never really heard him mention you. You talk to him? No, of course he wouldn't to you, because he's just trying to play it cool. But, he's quite obsessed with me. I'm telling you, he just won't leave me alone. And I think they had like a bad breakup or something, maybe, or God's like obsessed with this Molech and he's just insanely jealous. He goes on for paragraphs about sacrificing to Molech, like, Moses should have been like, hey, God, Molech's not real, right? I thought you were the one true God. Are you? Yes, I am. No, I am. Yeah, of course. Well, then what is it? I mean, I understand that it's, I guess, a waste of time to sacrifice to Molech. But why have you been, seems like you've been a little sensitive about it. You know, every time I mention Molech, you have this bad reaction and you've given like 10,000 commandments on not sacrificing to him. It's just it sort of makes me feel like he's a threat to you. No, he's fake. I'm the only God. Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. I think I would have had it after a while with God. Could you have, like, handled everything every repetitive thing where he's like, I'm the Lord. I'm your God. I'm the Lord. I'm the man. I'm your God. I'm Lord. Oh, I just would have had some sort of attack and just would have gone nuts on him. Just like, look, I don't care. Burning in hell would be better than hearing you say you are the Lord every 2 seconds. Just frigging cast me down now. Does the devil say I am the devil every 5 minutes? Because if he doesn't, then I'm leaning toward that side of this whole thing. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be surely be put to death. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So now he's just repeating everything he's already said, but with the added awesomeness of shall surely be put to death. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, and their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination. That's redundant, because if one man lies with a man, then that commandment stands for both of them. You don't need to say both. Anyway. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. Oh, that's awesome. Also, I got to read the note on this one. This was like somebody named Wesley or something. Wesley's notes. John Wesley? I don't know. Slay the beast, it says. It says here. Slay the beast, partly for the prevention of monstrous births, partly to blot out the memory of so loathsome a crime. holy crap. Prevention of monstrous births. Yeah, because that's how it works. You know, if you lay with a beast, then naturally it'll give birth to a half beast, half human baby. That's just how it goes. But the second one is just as good. To blot out the memory of so loathsome a crime. Because otherwise people would be like, every time they walk by the farm, they're like, oh, every time I see that cow with the four spots just standing there eating grass, he's just taunting me. I'm reminded of that loathsome crime that one guy committed. No, dude, it wasn't that cow. It was the one over there with a black patch on its shoulder. Oh yeah, was it that one? Shit, I don't know. This was like 30 years ago. How long do they live? It might not even be any of these, actually. Like, they're going to... Like, every time they see that animal, they'll be reminded of it. Like, it's just... Ah. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man shall take his sister... his father's daughter or his mother's daughter and see her nakedness and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain. And she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Yeah. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin, they shall bear the iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his, guess what, guess whose, uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless, unless they already have children. Then they'll die with that child. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. Oh, this one he stuck in there specifically for Polonius. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land, whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. Really, they committed all these things? Like, even the weird one where the woman lies down for the animal, and the guy having sex with his wife and the wife's mother, and all that weird crap, they did all that? Like, all the time? Or was it just like one or two of them? Couldn't you just punish those one or two? Wait, had you told them about this, God? Because this is certainly the first we've heard of it. I just want to... Shut up! Yeah, just shut up. Stop talking. But I have said... I am the Lord your God. He should just say that. This is the first we've heard of it. I don't know. I am the Lord your God. All right. I guess there's no arguing with that. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people, because you couldn't get along at recess. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people. Like I've said 100 times, that you should be mine. A man, or also a woman, that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death, except it will be very hard, because they'll have their wizard powers. They shall stone them with stones. Yes, every wizard is their weakness is a stone to the head. They're similar to humans in that way. Their blood shall be upon them. And that's the end of that chapter. On to chapter 21. This one's a bit more boring. Those first three were just killer. This one's about what the priests have to do, their little requirements and stuff. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. But for his kin that is near unto him, that is, for his mother, and for his father, and for his son, and for his daughter, and for his brother, and for his sister a virgin, that is nigh unto him, which hath had no husband. For her may he be defiled. At first I thought that was a really weird, like, sex thing, because, you know, defiled is usually... But no, I guess it just means priests can't touch dead people, or unless they're his close relation. Like, what? What's wrong with dead people from God's point of view? Are they too gross for him, or aren't they closer to God when they die? Are they? What about 1 minute after they die, when they're literally still like 98.7? Or 6, or whatever that is. No, still defiling. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of the beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh, again, like the pagans did, I guess. And God is like, I wonder if he's trying to hint at it, or if he's just being, so a couple things they shouldn't do, just random things I'm thinking of. Shouldn't make baldness upon their head, nor should they, shave off the corner of their beard, for example. Just off the top of my head, something they shouldn't do is, make any cuttings in their flesh. Moses is like, those are all three exactly what the pagans do. When somebody dies, is that why? Oh, are they? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh no, I was just, weird. No, I was just rattling things off. You know, I'm just. This is eternal law. I'm not. I think I'd pander to, you know, just one little group of people in my eternal book. Yeah, no, I was just. I just happened to think of those three things. Maybe I just read them or something. I don't know. They shall be holy unto their God. Man, that was like a compound yawn. I just yawned like 8 times. That's the effect of the Bible on me. It's just like intensity, like intense yawning within a yawn, within a yawn. My yawn was yawning. That's what happened. Like, I yawned because I was bored of the Bible, and then my yawned because it was bored of yawning, of being bored of the Bible. Anyway, for the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and the bread of their God they do offer. Therefore they shall be holy. They shall not take a wife that is a whore, or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his God. Thou shalt sanctify him therefore, for he offereth the bread of thy God. He shall be holy unto thee, for I the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy after all. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father. She shall be burnt with fire. And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes. Neither shall he go into any dead body, which sounded a little iffy at first, but I guess... just means touching it or doing the rites or something. Nor defile himself for his father or for his mother. Oh, so this is the head priest. So regular priest guys, you know, your everyday priest can't mourn except for when it's a close family member. But your head priest, he cannot mourn, period. No matter what, whoever dies, doesn't matter, he can't mourn. Because it's defiling himself. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil his God is upon him. Of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. By the way, I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, preferably around 12, 13 years old. A widow or divorced woman or profane or an harlot, these shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Neither shall he profane his seed among his people, for I, the Lord, do sanctify him. And the Lord spake unto Moses still, saying, Speak unto Aaron, saying, How's it going, Aaron? This is God. Say that, say that. And then, you know, gently go into, Whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man or lame, or if he's just really lame, like you talk to him, he's like, man, that guy's lame. I don't like that guy. Or he hath a flat nose or anything superfluous, any superfluous body parts he has. Or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed or broke-backed. Or crook-backed or a dwarf or an elf or a... Or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. Stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. Again, that justifying by just repeating what he just said. Then people are like, Stupid people must... They're just like, No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. And people are like, Oh, yeah, that's true. No, I hadn't thought of that. They shouldn't because they have a blemish. You know, blemished people shouldn't offer the bread because they have a blemish. That's sick. It's disgusting. Yeah, no, that's true. God is wise. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries. I, the Lord, in case you forgot who I was, for yours truly, the Lord, do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron, and to his sons, and unto all the children of Israel. And that, my friends, is our reading for today. From Thomas in the Bible. Good night. No, that was boring last chapter to go out on, but those first couple were gold. You gotta admit, they were pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So, once again, if you could please, I know I'm bugging you, but if you could please write a review on iTunes, or at least review it, but write a review on there. You know, that would be really nice, because I'd appreciate it, and then people look at it and they'll say, hey, that's good, I should listen to that. Yes, you should. So yeah, please do that. I'd really appreciate it. And if you want to say anything about this podcast, or ask any questions, or bring up points that you disagree with, or whatever, any of that, you can email me at comments@thomasinthebible.com, or you can go on the website and, you know, make a comment or whatever, or make a number two. Either way, thanks everybody, and I'll see you next time.